through his mathematical computations. Because in this set, the Meir Anei Chachamim, the Ashtravsir does these unbelievable, I wouldn't call it gematrias, but he proves mathematically how certain statements of Chazal are very precise. So, for example, when Chazal say, because Avraham gave a little bit of water to his guests, so the Jews had water for 40 years in the Midbar, so he works out these very complicated calculations based on Mamari Chazal to prove that when Chazal says something, it's always very precise. So he has sometimes these astronomical numbers that he puts together. Again, he was a brilliant mind, and he fasted for 40 years on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And the Svarim, the Meir Anei Chachamim, are a combination of Lamdas and Trilus and Chuvos, and then he has some sections as well, Al HaTorah. So in two of the volumes, it's three volumes, in two of the volumes he has some Purim Torah. So I thought we would look at these two teachings, these two Purim Torahs from the Holy Ashtravsir. And you'll see, his Torah is very sweet. You'll enjoy it. And it's a little bit of a continuation of what some of us were learning yesterday, which is really a theme that you have to think about a lot on Purim. And that is Emunah and Bitachon. You have to understand, it's easy, it's easy to be into Purim now that we're safe, and now that we survived Haman. But Melchama L'Hashem B'Amalek, Midor Dor, in every generation, you have threats, physical threats, existential threats to the Jewish people. And we have to know how to live with Emunah and Bitachon. That's one of the major themes of Purim. We spoke about Tefillah and Purim a couple of times already. And again, it's all rooted in the same reality, which is living with Hashem. Adar, Aleph Dar. I want the Alufo Shel Olam, the master of the world, to be Dar. I want Hashem to be in my life. Okay, so you ready for this, Jackcats? You're going to love this piece of Torah. Check this out. Okay, this is again from the Sefer Meir Einei Chachamim, from the Holy Ashtravsir, who left the world in 1928. Isa b'Maseches Megillah. We begin with a Mishnah in Megillah. Some of you have probably learned it before. Hakore es haMegillah l'mafreya lo yatsa. If a person reads the Megillah l'mafreya, out of order, you read the Megillah backwards. L'mafreya literally means inverted. Right, v'nahafuchu. You read the Megillah backwards, lo yatsa. You have to read the Megillah from beginning to end. That's how we paskin. The Megillah has to be read from beginning to end. Now, before we learn the Ashtravsir, let me tell you a famous teaching from the Baal Shem Tov, which is similar, but actually different. Okay, in the Sefer Divrei Shalom on Parshas Bo, it quotes from the Baal Shem Tov. It's also in the Baal Shem Tov Ala Torah, in his writings on Megillah Esther, that the Baal Shem Tov explained, HaKorei es haMegillah l'mafreya lo yatsa. If you read the Megillah backwards, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Baal Shem Tov said, that means that if you think the story of the Megillah is a story of the past, l'mafreya, something that happened once upon a time, right? You're reading a historical account of something that once was, lo yatsa. Lo yatsa. You have not fulfilled your obligation. The Megillah is mamash the story of our lives, friends. So we have to live with the miracles as if it's bayamim ahim bazman hazeh, in a very real way. A Jew has to live with the realization that Megillah is not l'mafreya. It's not a story of the past. Megillah is something that's happening mamish right now to each and every one of us. That's what the Baal Shem Tov said. And the Maggid of Mezrich, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, was marech on that nekuda as well. But says the Ashtravsir, a different pshat. What does it mean you can't read the Megillah backwards? Okay, so let's paint the picture. Look what he says here. Yesh lefarish. Dihinei yesh chiyav lishmoa es haMegillah miroshav ad sofa. We paskin, I believe it's the opinion of Rabbi Meir in the Gemara, who says you need to read the Megillah from beginning to end. You need the whole thing, all 167 psukim, all 10 prakim, beginning to end. Vihinei bas chalas kriyasa. So a Jew starts to read the Megillah, and he's maschil, hashomei lishmoa hasipur. He starts to hear the story. Once upon a time, there was a king, his name was Achashverosh. And he made a mishta l'chol sarav. He made a big party. He liked the party, he made a lot of parties. Long parties, festive parties, expensive parties. So a Jew is reading the Megillah, and he starts thinking to himself, why am I reading this? Azai lefum riata lo yavin od kol kach tam hachiyuv v'hanechitzas l'shmo mizeh. And as he's getting into it, he's reading along, and he's kind of wondering to himself, like, what's the point of all this? Why am I reading this story? Why do I need to know about the lavish parties by some non-Jewish king?
Ki mai nafka mina kol kach b'zeh? Why do I care about this? All right, I'll keep reading. Gam e'asipur sha'achar kach. I keep reading a little bit. And I find out, the gam vashti amalka asa mishta. Not only did the Achashverosh make a party, his wife also likes the party. Okay. What is this, People Magazine? I need to read, like, you know, who's hanging out with who, who's throwing parties, what's going on, what do I, who cares? V'chein mimash energa acharkach. And then, you know, they get into a little marital dispute, and this one's divorcing that one, and, you know, off with their head. I don't know. What does that have to do with me? V'chein afilu me'asipur sha'acharzeh. So the story goes further, and I find out that Esther Hamalka was taken to the Beis HaMelech. So I start to think, ah, okay, now it's starting to turn into a Jewish story. When I realize, okay, at least someone from our people's involved. So Yargish Hashameya, so the listener listening to the Megillah starts to think, Shekedai Ma Leidemiza. Okay, now it's at least Kedai to start, you know, paying attention a little bit. The story might have some relevance to me. Then I find out that there's a big son and a seresh, and they're trying to poison the king. And then I'm back to scratching my head again. Like, what? Who cares? What does any of this have to do with me? And then I get to the part, and now I'm a couple prakim into the Megillah already. I'm still trying to figure out, well, like, what's the point here? Why do I need all these details? And I find out that there's a wicked man, Haman, and he makes a terrible gzeir against the Jewish people. Yavina adam dezeh ma'anyein or me'inyan gam ata l'chol Yisrael. Oh, so now this is relevant. Okay, this is something that is noteworthy for the Jewish people. Me'acher d'chol am Yisrael haya oz b'sakano chas v'shalom. The Jewish people were in danger. V'amnam kishmagia shomei al asipor debalailahu. So now I'm halfway through the Megillah, and the king is having a sleepless night, and now I start to see how all the pieces start to fall into place. Now I start to understand. Ah, now I understand all the different puzzle pieces. They start to click together. Now I understand why I was so nachutz, why I was so pressing for me to know all of these details as the picture comes together. But however, listen to the way the Ostrovser explains it. It's not what you think he's going to say. So now I see all the pieces coming together. The one who turns all the wheels, the one who causes all the things that happen in this world to happen. Hashem sent the trufa, Hashem prepared the medicine before Hashem prepared the illness. And Hashem was putting everything in place, and all the details of the story start to make sense. Now I understand, Achashverosh made a party, and Vashti also made a party, and she didn't want to come to Achashverosh's party in the way that he requested of her, and Vashti gets killed, and Esther more or less gets kidnapped and taken to the palace. And now I understand why Mordechai had to save and overhear the conversation of Bigson and Seresh, and all the pieces start to come together. However, when you get to the end of the story, it's very gevaldic. It's very beautiful. All the pieces come together, and you start to say, ah, now I understand why it had to be this way. Ah, now I understand this, now I understand that. But my friends were Jews. And it's not enough to be a Jew when Mashiach comes. It's not enough, you know, to root for the team, right, after they've already, you know, become the championship team. You know, to stick it out with the team when it was not in its glory days. To be able to say, I believe in what's before my eyes, that even though I don't understand what's happening here. Right? Again, once Mashiach comes, what does Chazal say? Chazal say, we don't accept people, we don't accept converts, we don't allow people to join our team after we win. It's actually a shaila in the Megillah itself. Because in the Megillah, at the end of the Megillah, it says there were many people from the nations of the world who tried to join the Jews. They tried to jump on the bandwagon. Well, once you see our salvation, and now you want to join us, you know, once our company has taken off and now you want to join the team, you didn't want to invest in our company when we were just a startup. But now that we're a big fancy company, all of a sudden you're applying for an internship, so it's too late. You missed the boat. But if you believe when all of the puzzle pieces have not yet come together and there's no picture, there's no clear picture at all, and you still say, Ani mamin b'muna shleima, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing, even though right now it's just a scattered mess of ideas that I don't really know how to put them together in any sensible way, that's a person. That's a person who's living a truly Jewish existence. So, chaver, look what the Ostrovtzer says. Ula min haroi. Right? Obviously, after everything comes together and you look back and you say, ah, now I understand the Achashverosh, now I understand Vashti, now I understand Big Son and Zeresh, now I understand Mordechai being in the right place at the right time in Esther. Min haroi shekol ish Yisrael. Yamin v'yavin miyad. But friends, you have to be able, like we were learning yesterday from the Stipler Gaon, you can't outsmart a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's easy after everything comes together to look back and to say, oh, now I see the Yad Hashem, Shkoyach. Yeah, now it's open for everyone to see. Everyone sees the Yad Hashem at the end of the story. The question is, when the story is unfolding, when you're still in it, and the pieces don't make sense yet, and you're feeling kind of the weightiness of that uncertainty, when a Malek still has you by the neck, and you're not sure what's going to be, right? Do you believe in Hashem in those moments? Or only after, when everything works out, all of a sudden, then you say, oh, now I get it. I think I told you, I definitely told some of you in the past, about the story of my Erev Shabbos car crash. Many years ago, when my wife and I were first married, I was going to, we had an older car that belonged to my in-laws. My wife's from Muncie. We were going to Muncie for Shabbos. I was coming from my job. I was teaching in Moriah in Englewood at the time. And I was driving up to Muncie on Erev Shabbos. It was like a wintry Shabbos, so it was, you know, one of these early, very early Shabbosim. And as I got very close to my wife's house, all of a sudden, it was an old car. We literally had a sign on the window for sale. We were trying to get rid of it. We had put some work into it. We just like wanted to get rid of the car at this point. All of a sudden, something happened with the car, and like the wheel like locked, and my car just like veered off the road. It like cut across a lane. It was like a kind of like a narrow. It was off the highway already. But it wasn't like a side street. It's kind of like this, you know, in-between street. And right by Airmont Road, Jack. So like right around there. And my car, like, you know, I couldn't do anything. It just like crossed over the lane. There was another car coming at me. It swerved around me. Baruch Hashem, no one was hurt. But my car crashed into the curb. And it didn't seem like it was, you know, such a bad crash from the externals of the car. But I guess the way it hit the curb, like it kind of like ripped out the bottom. The car was not drivable. It was Erev Shabbos. I was very startled by it. My wife came to pick me up, and the car was towed back to my in-laws, and I was very shaken by it. It was very close to Shabbos. I didn't even have a chance to shower before Shabbos. And that other car had swerved right around me. I could have been in a terrible accident. I was very, very shaken by the whole thing, and I felt so bad. It's not even my car. And anyways, it turns out my father-in-law, so we were trying to sell this car for like a couple $1,000 just to get rid of the car. Turns out my father-in-law had some type of clause in his insurance, in his insurance, that if anything happened to the car and it was considered totaled, which it was in the end, even though, again, externally it didn't look so badly damaged at all, but I guess sort of like the central steering beam or whatever cracked underneath. I don't know what I'm talking about. But whatever happened, the car was considered totaled, you know. Medina de Malchusa, it was considered totally wrecked. And my father-in-law had an insurance clause that if something happens to the car, if it becomes totaled, so you get the full value of the car, its original value. So literally, like 2 days later, my father-in-law gets a check in the mail for like $35,000 for the full value of the car. So here I am thinking, I'm feeling so bad for myself. It's not even my car, and I'm embarrassed, and like now the car is ruined, and you know, it wasn't worth that much, but like I was scared by it. I was, you know, why did Hashem put me in that situation? It was so dangerous, and I was like just such a, all the questions that a person has after going through, you know, that type of trauma. And little did I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was moving around the pieces to, in fact, give us a great bracha. And my father-in-law was generous enough to share some of that money with each of his three daughters, and you know, it turned out to be financially pretty good, that car accident. Right, so it's easy once it all works out to say, oh, look, Hashem, you're amazing. Wow, look how you're moving around the pieces. But it's another thing when Haman is mamish hanging over your head and you don't have any answers yet, and it just seems like things are getting crazier and crazier. It's a very different thing to say at that moment, Ani mamim bemuna shleima, to say it and to mean it. So says the Ostrovtzer, look carefully. Min haroi shekol ish Yisrael yamin v'yavin miyad. B'chol davar pu'ula shenasa ba'olam she'ein zeh mikra. However, the fight against the Malik is a fight against Mikra, against chance, against happenstance. Haman playing dice, Haman playing lotteries. right? Things, the world of Asher Karcha Baderach, the randomness of life. A Jew has to believe there's no such thing as randomness in life. Ela Kol Nasa Bishvil Yisrael. Everything that happens in the world is with precision. As the Gemara in Yevamos says that even paranios, even punishment, even, you know, world disasters, it all comes to the world because of Klal Yisrael. We're in the driver's seat. We're the ones who are directing the world. Our averos matter, our mitzvos matter, our experiences matter. Bereishis b'shvil Yisrael shenikru reishis. That's who we are. V'agam she'eino mevin, as even though we don't understand it yet, we don't yet understand it. Im kol zeh achiyav lahamin b'zeh. Our obligation is to what? Is to believe in it. So friends, now let's try to understand. What does it say? What's the Mishnah Maseches Megillah that we started with? Hakore es Megillah mafreya lo yatza. If you read the Megillah backwards, if you read the Megillah out of order, lo yatza. Everyone wants to just get to the end. Everyone wants to hear the answer to all of their suffering. Everyone wants to understand how this whole, you know, thing is going to come together, how the puzzle pieces of our life's experience are going to come together. But a person who reads the Megillah mafreya, hainu, de'im kishemegiyah lesof divrei Megillah. If you only start to bet on Hashem, to believe in God, when everything comes together, when you get to the end of the Megillah and you see, wow, look at the master plan. Rak oz yaschil lahavin es hanyanu lemafreya. Only then you start to say, oh, now I see how Hashem was there all along. Lo yatza. You have not fulfilled your obligation. You've not lived the way a Jew is supposed to live. A Jew has to be able to believe in Hashem in the dark times. Like Megillah's Esther. Esther, again, is that world of Anochi, Haster Astir, like it says at the end of the Chumash. A world of concealment. Ki oz afilu umas ha'olam hischilu lahavin. When you get to the end of the story, everyone believes in Hashem. That's why it says at the end of the Megillah, v'rabi me'ame ha'aretz misyadim. It says that what? That many non-Jews started to convert to Judaism. Everyone jumps on the bandwagon when it's over. But friends, the Avodah of Purim is Adel Yada. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm still besimcha. I'm confident that Hashem knows what He's doing. Stop right there, the first two words. The Gemara in Megillah says, Vayehi b'mei is a lashon of tsar, of terrible fear, of things spinning out of control, terrible oppression, very frightened, right? Va'ir Shushan Navocha, when the city of Shushan is trembling, as Achashverosh and Haman are sitting down to have l'chaims at the end of the third parak of the Megillah, right? And to say Ani Ma'yeh B'Simcha, I'm not worried, everything's going to be great. That's a real ma'amin. That's a Jew who lives with emunah. And that's a mefurish Megillah Mishnah Maseches Megillah. Hakore es Megillah l'mafreya lo yatza. If you're only going to join the Jewish people when the story wraps up, you have not fulfilled your obligation. It's a very chashuv teaching. And put it together with the Baal Shem Tov. Again, the Baal Shem Tov said, Levafreya means, don't read the story of the Megillah as a thing of the past. So you put the Baal Shem Tov's Vart together with the Ostrov Sir, it's very beautiful, right? We're obligated right now to see ourselves as living the story of the Megillah. And what that means is, don't wait till Mashiach comes to decide, oh yeah, I knew Hashem was in charge all along. When really we're living with Sveikos of Amalek the whole time. Conquer those sveikos, be besimcha, take your mind beyond the world of all the imperfections that we see before our physical eyes, look deeper, and realize that what? That I'm on Hashem's team, not when we get to the end of the Megillah, but by He b'me'ach HaShverosh, I'm already betting on Hashem. That's the first Torah today, Chevra, from the Ostrovser. But we have one more, and we'll see how they come together. One more Torah from the Ostrovser. This appears in the third volume, in a section on Purim. And again, let's go through this piece. It's an amazing piece. And we're going to learn what are the wonders of creation. Okay, so for those who like wonders of the natural world, you have something to look forward to here. The Megillah says, and we learned the Medrash already, so we'll just run through the first part of the piece very quickly. We know that Haman was casting his lots, and he landed on the month of Adar. And if you remember, we learned it last week, the Medrash in Esther Rabbah, that says that the mazel, that the astrological sign, the horoscope for the month of Adar is Dagim, is fish. Right? And when Haman saw that his lotteries landed on Adar, he was very happy because he said, ah, kishem sha Dagim boilin kachani boleo son. Just like fish swallow, a big fish swallows the little fish, So too, I'm going to swallow up the Jewish people. And if you remember the end of the Medrash, Hashem responded, sometimes a fish swallows, sometimes a fish gets swallowed. Haman, you're going to be swallowed up by the Jewish people. Right? The Jews are compared to fish. We're going to be the ones who swallow up Haman. Okay. But friends, why is, the question of the Ashtrav Sir is, why is the mazel for the month of Adar Dagim? Right? Every month has a mazel. We spoke a few times in the Avodas Yisrael, how the month of Sivan, when we got the Torah, is Gemini, is Ta'omim, is twins. We spoke about that balanced relationship between us and Hashem. What does fish have to do with Adar? One of my old Talmidim, a good friend of mine, dropped off a big piece of lox for Purim yesterday. He dropped it off. He said, Rabbi, I brought you a gift for the Purim Suda. Okay, so I have this huge fish sitting in my fridge. L'chavit Purim, we're saving it for Purim. Right, it's good to eat fish on Purim. Why? Because the mazel of Adar is Dagim. What's the secret of the fish? What's the inyan of the fish? We spoke about how Purim is a little bit me'ein olam haba. Purim is never batel. Right? When Mashiach comes, we're always going to have Purim. So just like on Shabbos, there's such an inyan to eat fish. It's a big inyan to have fish on Shabbos, because Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. So Purim is also maybe me'ein olam haba, so that's why we have the inyan of fish. What does fish have to do with anything? Fish are below the surface. Fish live in water. What does any of this have to do with Purim? So says the Ashtrav Sir, I'd like to explain this medrash by first explaining to you an inyan nifla be'inyan hashkacha sabori, a wondrous thing that Hashem made in the aquatic world. Okay, a wondrous thing about fish. Now, friends, everything that happens in nature, there's lessons for us to extract. The Ashtrav Sir was paying attention, and he taught us the following idea: Dihine yadua kasher dag bolei adag. As Haman said, I'm so excited, I'm going to swallow up Klal Yisrael. So friends, we know that when a fish swallows another fish, when a big fish is bolea dag acher, katan mimenu, when a big fish swallows a little fish, bolo mitzad harosh, volo mitzad znavo. How does a fish swallow a fish? And actually, if you look in some svarim, very interesting, if you look in certain svarim that talk about the mazalos, you'll see that the mazel for Adar is two fish, it's dagim, it's not dag, it's two fish, and the picture that's sometimes found in Torah sources are two fish that are facing each other. Right? A fish facing another fish, head on. So says the Ashtrav Sir, it's very interesting. In fact, if you cut open a fish, sometimes you'll find another fish inside of it, and you'll notice that when a fish swallows another fish, it always swallows it head on. It never swallows a fish from behind. And that's part of the Hashkachas Hashem. Why is that? Why does Hashem make it that way? One would expect, one would imagine that it would be the opposite. You would think that a fish swallows another fish from behind, from the tail. Why? Right, picture the scene. A big fish is pursuing a small fish. He's chasing after it. Right, and he's chasing it from behind. You would expect that he would swallow it from the tail end, from the zanav, which is the tail. And yet we see, b'ashkacha sabore, we see the wonders of creation that it's not that way. Raka inyan hu, debe'emes hadag shehu rodev acharav eno mesig la'olam. The fish that the big fish is chasing, it doesn't catch the little fish. It doesn't get the little fish. You know what usually happens? A fish starts chasing after another fish. It's chasing it from behind. And that fast little fish is trying to run for its life. And as it's running, Rak b'shas haradifa hu tofes dog acher sheba lenegdo ve'ezehu boleya. Picture the scene. You have the big fish chasing after the little fish from behind, right? And it's pursuing it. And it can't get it. It can't get it from behind. That's why you don't find that the big fish swallows the little fish from the tail. But as it's chasing this fish, all of a sudden another fish, which is swimming by, gets in its way, and the big fish ends up swallowing that other fish head on, as opposed to the one that it was originally pursuing from behind. Chevra, there's a very, very deep teaching in Avodas Hashem that's found in that experience that takes place beneath the water. Uve emes hu chesed habore v'rachamav al kol ma'asav. The fish swallowing the other fish head on is actually a tremendous kindness. Because you know what would happen if a fish swallowed another fish from behind? You know what would happen? It's a tremendous kindness that Hashem does, that He allows the fish not to swallow the other fish from the tail, but rather swallow it from the head. You know why? Ki be'eis shahadog nitvas, shot b'mayim. Because when the fish that's being pursued is swimming in the water, the snapirin shalo heim rechavim v'koshim kamo machatim. Because when it's swimming, it's snapirin. What are snapirin? A fish to be kosher has to have what? Has to have fins and scales, right? So the fins become what? The fins become expanded and they become very sharp, almost like a machat is like a needle. So the way that the fish is positioned, if he swallows from behind, it could be very damaging. It could like scrape at the insides of the larger fish that swallowed it. If it swallows it from behind, then the snapirin would be noikvim esmei hadagat gadol. Then the snapirin of the fish would actually pierce the insides of the bigger fish. Aval kasher boleo so mitzad rosh. But when a fish swallows another fish head on, so then the fins and the scales are positioned in such a way that it would not that it's smooth, that it would not damage, it wouldn't cause any harm to the larger fish. Now, let's think about this for a second. Let's think about the things in life that we're pursuing, that we're trying to catch, and let's think about what we actually catch in this world. Uve'emes kol ha'pachad shel ha'dag ha'boreach. If you think about it, says the Ostrovser, the fear, the trepidation of the fish that's running for its life, that's so afraid, what's going to happen to me? Einu el mitzad ha'zanav shelo. Every fish, when it sees that it's being chased, is so nervous about getting caught from behind. But lamaisa, we don't find that that's what happens. We don't find, 99% of the time, that's not actually what happens. Right? It's so nervous that it's going to get caught from behind. Why is it nervous about what's behind it? Because it's afraid, I can't see what's behind me. De'eino roa ma ba'achor. I can't see what's behind me. Ava matzad haroshalo. But that which is in front of me, I got this. I can see what's ahead of me. I've got eyes, I can see what's up ahead. That which sad harosh shelo eino mefachid mu'uma. He's not afraid. Mefachid mu'uma. He's not afraid. Ki yesh lo ba'osot tzarei na'im liros. I can see what's going on. I know he's going to try to harm me. B'mishirotze leheralo v'lanus mipanav. If I see someone, I'll run away. But from behind, I'm very afraid. I'm scared of being caught from behind. And yet, chever, what's the reality? What's the biological reality? What do we find in the kingdom? What do we find in the aquatic world? We find that the fish is usually not caught from behind. The area that it's kind of afraid of is actually protected. And the area that it thinks that I got this on my own, I got this under control, I can see what's up ahead. Hashem, I don't need your help because I can see. The things that are behind me, because I can't see them. But what's up ahead, I got this totally under control. I'll take care of it myself. Thanks a lot, Hashem. I'm good. But the lesson of the fish and the lesson of Chodesh, friends, is listen. B'zeu ashkachas haborei dibamakom shad defached. In the place where the fish is afraid, where the fish feels, I can't do it on my own. Hainu b'chelak ha'achor, with regard to that which comes from behind. Shama Kadosh Baruch Hu Shomro. In the place where a person realizes, I'm not big enough to provide for myself, Hashem provides the protection. Umatzilo. Hashem watches over him and protects him. V'nosein lo snapir v'kaskesas. Shelo yuchal hadag acher leheralo. He provides him with fins and scales to protect him. But when a person thinks, what? The part that's in front of me, I can see it. I can be aware of it. I got this on my own. It's dafka there that the big fish gets him. The story of fish, the mazel of Adar, is that when a person thinks, God forbid, I'm good on my own, I don't need a Kodesh Baruch Hu's help. When a person thinks that they have it, they've got it under control, that's the biggest danger in the world. When a person relies on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, with emunah and bitachon, then they're safe. Shebedavar shu mefached ve'ein lo eitza v'somech al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person feels nervous, and a person is afraid, and a person doesn't know how to handle the situation, and they rely on Hashem, and they dive into Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to protect them. But that which the person says, I've got it all worked out. I don't need to daven so hard for this. My parnasa is secure. My health is secure. I was just by the doctor. My doctor said I don't have any problems. Nothing can happen to me. I got the vaccine. Coronavirus is not scary for me anymore. So God forbid, when a person becomes responsibly confident and thinks he doesn't need Hashem, it's dafka in that moment that he ends up getting swallowed by a bigger fish. So now, friends, listen to this. We move on b'zeh medrash, and now we understand the medrash. Masha Omer Haman, just like Haman had this false sense of confidence, kishem shahadagim boilin kach ani boleo son. Haman says, I'm going to catch them like a fish. Or in the language of the Yalkut Shimoni in the Medrash on Esther, that Haman said, tefusim heim biyadi, they're caught in my hand, kahadein nuna, like a nuna. Nuna is Aramaic for fish, like a fish. Haman understood. Haman knew, like the Medrash told us, that the lottery landed in the month of Adar, and the mazel for Adar is dagim. And you know what Haman thought that meant? V'yada. He knew. If a person sees himself from the tail, u'mefached, and he's afraid, mefached, v'somech ala kadosh baruch hu, and he relies on Hashem, he davens, then I can't do anything. But you know what Haman thought? You know what Haman thought about the Jewish people? He thought that we had a false sense of confidence. When Haman's going to make a decree, the Jews are going to say, we're going to fight back, we're not so afraid. Or we're living in a period of one of the greatest gedolim of all time. Mordechai is going to save us, right? After all, Mordechai is a high-ranking person in Achashverosh's cabinet. We have nothing to be worried about. We have nothing to be afraid of. Haman thought, if I can get the Jews to falsely believe that they're not going to be so worried, so then I'm going to be able to swallow them up like a fish that's swallowed up head-on when a person is falsely confident. Uvemes kein haya. And in a certain sense, it was true. She Yisrael lo pachdu ma'uma bitchila. Mordechai had to remind the Jews how scary this was. Because at first, there was a concern, and the Gemara says so explicitly, that the Jews are going to say, Achos yesh lana babayis, b'beis ha-melech. We have a sister in the palace. We have nothing to worry about. She's going to work it all out. Uve emes ma'achvazeh hayu b'tzaro v'sakana gedola. But when a person thinks, I'm going to work it out with my political connections, I have nothing to be afraid about, I have nothing to worry about, when a person falsely relies upon oneself, so then, God forbid, they're in tremendous danger. And that was part of what Haman was trying to get us to falsely believe. We're going to be okay, because we have Esther, we have Mordechai, we're going to fight back. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Mordechai that, Mordechai, you need to get Klal Yisrael to wake up. This is scary times. The Gezeirah in Shemayim is already sealed. U'Mordechai Yada is Kol Asher Nasa. Mordechai was revealed to Mordechai everything that the Gezeirah had been sealed in Shemayim. V'hazak ha-shazak Mordechai, when Mordechai screams out, it wasn't a tefillah. It was a scream of desperation that there's literally no hope for us. Ki b'dayto haya shekvar avda tochlasam. Our hope has already been lost. The Gezeirah is sealed in Shemayim. There's no turning back. And Mordechai screamed like a person who what? Kmo zakas yisurim, hagam she'enu mo'eles. Like a person who's in terrible pain. A person who's in terrible pain screams out, ow, ow, ow. It doesn't help anything. It doesn't solve your problem. Mordechai screaming like a person who's dying and screaming in pain. The screams aren't going to save him. It's not gonna save him from whatever's harming him just by screaming. It wasn't even a tefillah. It was mamish a situation of terrible desperation. Esther, and that which the Jews had a false sense of security, that we have a sister in the palace. They started to see that Esther was not coming to their defense. They saw that Esther was sending letters to Mordechai through Hasach, that I'm not sure what to do here. And she's inviting Haman to her parties. She's buddying up with Haman. She's just trying to save herself. And when Klal Yisrael realized that they were in big danger, when Klal Yisrael saw themselves as what? As a backwards fish, instead of seeing themselves as a head-on fish. Again, the irony is, a fish that's looking straight is the fish that's in trouble. The fish that's running because it's afraid is the fish that's actually protected. So he says, he ends the piece in a very sweet way. He says, "Ba'oz kasher ro," when the Jewish people came to the realization, "shenichzava tochlasam," that they had a false sense of security, "mikol hamalitzim," right, when they realized that everything that they thought was going to just, you know, take care of itself, it's not. Vinahafuchu. What does vinahafuchu mean? Vinahafuchu means perish shenepa chilak haponim vinasam izeh chilak achorayim. When they turned around like a backwards fish, they started off like a forward swimming fish who has this false sense of confidence. I can see where I'm going. Nothing can happen to me. I've got it under control. Right? But it's dafka, the fish that's forward swimming, that sees ahead of itself, that's in trouble. When Klal Yisrael started to realize that they were in danger, right? That they couldn't see who was coming from behind. Amalek who attacks where? Amalek who attacks from behind. Asenach Hashalom Acharecha. Amalek who's known for their sneak attack from behind. Al Yedei Zeh. But it was Dafka when the Jews started to be properly afraid and started to rely on Hashem. Then what? Heima B'Soneyem. Then they had the upper hand. Hainu Shenatzchu HaYehudim. Then the Jews were successful. Then they were victorious. Tikumo b'dagim, just like a fish. Shem yavo hadag v'yitfos b'chelek ha'ocher shal dag ha'katan. Because if a fish tries again to swallow another fish from behind, yechnech es atzmo, it'll choke. It'll be cut. It'll be torn to pieces. Right? It'll be damaged. It'll be killed, possibly by the sharp snapir v'kaskeses, by the fins and scales of the other fish. Kei nechna kaman b'chelek ha'ocher. So Haman, who tried to swallow us from behind, ended up what? Being the one who was, so to speak, strangled. Haman was the one who was killed in the end. Sheratza lebolam, he wanted to swallow us. V'shalta yehudim heima b'soneyem. But in the end, we were victorious. So friends, what do you see from both these pieces? You see the same theme we were developing yesterday, and again, in many of the shirim last week. Purim is the yom tov of what? Of emunah and bitachon. It's adelo yada. Stop thinking you've got it under control. That doesn't mean we don't do our shtadlus like we spoke about yesterday. You have to do a shtadlus. We have to realize you're not gonna outsmart a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're not going to say, "Oh, I can see where I'm going, Hashem. I don't need to daven. I don't need to turn to you all that much. I've got it under control." Right? No, dafka. The things that you think you have under control is where you're most susceptible to being damaged. When you realize that I'm always on the run, that I'm being pursued, a Kodesh Baruch Hu looks out for a person who's being pursued. Kodesh Baruch Hu protects the nirdaf, right, from the rodef, the one who's being pursued. So friends, this is the mazel of Dagim. Haman tried to give us a false sense of confidence, and it was dafka in a hafach when we turned ourselves around, and we started to swim away from Haman. It was dafka then that we were able to kill Haman. But again, this is the story. Don't be a Jew who only understands the Megillah Mafreya. Don't be a Jew who decides, "I'm going to join the Jewish people after everything's worked out." Right now, when things are so crazy in the world, in the ikvus of the Mashiach, bet on Klal Yisrael. It's the greatest investment you could ever make. Believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, and then Amir Hashem, you know, when everyone's trying to join us after Mashiach comes, "Oh yeah, well, I also want to be a Jew." And Hashem says, no, too late. Only the people who stuck it out with me in the hard times are going to be able to enjoy the Hashras HaShchina that we'll be zocha to see with Mashiach from here, b'min o'min. Okay, friends, Yehuda, what do you want to say?